D-Mace Vingen and Donick 1025, The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Monday, a beautiful day in our fair city. It's in the 60s, and I say that because Willie Donick is in Edmonton, where the feels-like temperature is in the minus, which is na-na-na-na-na-na, Willie Donick, because a couple of months ago, you were like, oh, I'm in Florida. It's so hot here when it was cold here. So take that, Willie.
The shoe is on the other foot, isn't it?
Willie will eventually be back in Nashville, but the Predators have one more game on their road trip tomorrow against the Oilers. So we will have Willie Donick back in the studio. Yes?
Yes. That road trip's going not too bad, is it?
No, it's not. We'll see if the Predators can end it on a winning note tomorrow evening. But of course, we have to start like this, guys. Ladies, gentlemen, we did it. We made it through another Titans season. It's over. You can have your Sundays back. The Tennessee Titans season ended yesterday in a 41-7 blowout loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'll admit, guys, from the moment it was announced on the broadcast that Cam Ward was done for the day, I stopped paying attention. I wasn't going to watch Brandon Allen play a meaningless regular season game when I could think of 100 other things I'd rather be doing. The game was still on, but I wasn't really paying attention. And the score, it doesn't matter. The season's over. But the news of the day yesterday was Cam Ward, a portrait of durability. We talked about it at the end of last week. He had started every game, played every snap. And at the end of the Titans' lone scoring drive in the first quarter, Cam Ward suffers a right shoulder injury that sidelines him, for the remainder of the game. Now, it was reported yesterday, first by Jeff Howe of The Athletic, that Cam Ward suffered a grade 3 sprain of his AC joint, which is bad. That's bad. But reports today indicate that although Cam Ward did suffer a sprained AC joint, doctors do not believe he needs to undergo surgery, which is a positive development. Cam Ward spoke to reporters today, asked if he needed surgery. He said, quote, "I don't know that for sure. I don't think that's the case right now." So I think we were all holding our breath at the end of the game yesterday, because if he had to undergo shoulder surgery, Derek, that would have kept him really sidelined
for about 3-4 months before he
maybe even longer before
he can start doing anything,
right?
Like, you know, rotating the shoulder and anything else. I've dealt with a shoulder, you know, injury, broken scapula. It was a grade 3 strain on a joint. It took up about 3, because I didn't have surgery. I waited till after the season to have surgery. I just continued to play with it. But it took me, from the time I had surgery, it was about 3 to 4 months before I could really get back to lifting weights. And I'm not a quarterback. So it's going to take some time. You know, thankfully, you know, he didn't have to have surgery. This is why, you know, just because you're the first to report it doesn't mean it's always right. You got everybody up in an uproar because you say it's a grade 3. Not you, Adam, but I'm saying that the reports that, oh, it's a grade 3 strain. It's like, who in the hell told you all that? Is that, are you speculating that's what it is? Because nobody knew exactly what it was, and now it's been downgraded. To, you know, him hopefully not having having to have surgery. So, I mean, it's fortunate for the Titans that he can go into the offseason and hopefully rehab and get to a point where sooner rather than later that he can start throwing again. But, I mean, it's a part of football. It happens. Unfortunately for the Titans, it happened in the last game of the season when he had gotten beaten up, you know, for 16 games. And on the 18th week, he gets hurt on what is truly a routine play. You know, it's a routine tackle. He just, you know, when he went to dive in, he just, you know, he was on his shoulder and the guy landed right on his right shoulder. And unfortunately, that's what happens in this game if you play it long enough. So
It was just a routine play in pickleball. When I dove and messed up my shoulder, I was out for several months. I see how it can happen. It was routine.
Willie is doing one of my favorite things, mm-hmm. which is when a professional athlete suffers an injury, and somebody will call us or text us, 615-737-1025, and say, I suffered the same injury, and this is what happened to me. Sorry, random person. I think Cam Ward is a little bit more of an athlete than you. But we'll see if we get a call today. Oh, I had a grade 3 AC joint sprain one time. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The game, we lost power in the studio, but we are back. I guess this is because I made fun of Willie for being in Edmonton where it's -2 degrees.
See?
Karma.
It's always worse.
Karma. Okay. We're back. Sorry about that, y'all. So, again, to reset, Cam Ward suffered what was reported yesterday as a grade 3 sprain of his AC joint. Reports today suggest that he will not need surgery. He said today he doesn't think that's the case right now. For context, mm-hmm. Will Levis suffered a grade 2 sprain last season. Anthony Richardson also suffered a grade 3 sprain in his rookie season against the Titans and underwent season-ending shoulder surgery later that month. So, Willie, it appears that the worst-case scenario has been avoided for the Titans with Cam Ward's injury.
You know, it appears that way, but, you know, we just have to see. Like, I don't know if we thought Will Levis was going to go through the pathway he did in the offseason. And it is his throwing shoulder, so everybody's different. Every injury's different. I think what we can lean on is, A, I think he's going to get the best treatment possible, and B, I think he's going to put all of the work that he needs to put into the physical therapy that goes into this. And, you know, we joke about how we've had similar injuries, D-Mace, but no. I think you know, right, when you have a serious injury, the effort you put into those daily grinds with the trainers makes a difference.
Oh, it's the effort and the attitude that you bring into, you know, whatever situation that you're in. And in this situation, for Cam, it's going to be, you know, a delicate rehab. And why do I say delicate? Because this is your prize, you know, pupil. And you don't want to rush him back in and think, oh, we're good. He can go out there and start throwing and then have a setback. No, you take as much time as you possibly need to make sure when Cam starts throwing the football, he doesn't feel any ill effects of, you know, what happened the last game of the season. Or if he has to have surgery, then you have it, you rehab him, but you take your time. And if he's not ready for the season, the beginning of the season, then he's not ready. And you shouldn't pressure him to be ready, because I'm not going to sacrifice my quarterback, you know, just for possibly one or two games. I'm not doing that.
Here's my question for you, Derek Mason, because I saw a lot of this on social media right after Cam Ward suffered the injury. The Titans ran few designed runs for Cam Ward this season. And I saw some people on social media complaining about the fact that the Titans, in a meaningless game with a lame duck coaching staff, ran a designed run for Cam Ward that got him injured. Do you have any issue with the Titans running that play for Cam Ward?
No, it's a football play. You know, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, coddle him and put this perimeter around him, you know, and not allow him to play. The guy is developing as a quarterback, and just because it's the last game of the season, I'm not going to do anything that I believe is going to stunt that. So we're going to run our offense. No one said anything about a few plays before when he tried to throw the screen and he ran and got down. Nobody said anything about that. I understand that was not a designed run, but still, he ran. This one, he didn't have to run the football. He could have gave it to the running back, but he chose not to. Why? Because his football instincts kicked in, and he kept the ball and scored a touchdown. There's absolutely nothing, and I repeat, nothing wrong with this play. If you think something's wrong with this play, and that it was called, I'm not sure what to tell you. because, I mean, this was a regular football play that they would have ran with any quarterback underneath center. They're trying to score points. It may be meaningless in the big, it may be meaningless in the small scheme of things when we're talking about the season, but winning that game means more to those guys than what it means to the average fan or even the diehard fan. A win is a win is a win, and we are taking it any way it comes.
Willie, I imagine you agree with Derek on that.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a story. It's so dumb to put out there. It's just people trying to make noise. You know, why? It makes no sense to me. It's just you play. We've been trying to get Cam Ward to run more during the year. He needs to run smart and effectively. That was a smart, effective run. He got hurt. That's football.
Jared from Spring Hill on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, what can't Ward do? Picking coaches, self-diagnosing injuries, interviewing players, calling plays on fourth down. What a guy. Better get a bona fide backup in here. This is going to linger and only prolong him being a good quarterback. Going to be a long 9 months of excuses for Ward, not looking forward to it. I wouldn't say.
What is he talking about?
I wouldn't say that Cam Ward self-diagnosed his injury. I'm sure he talked to the trainers about it.
Wow. He didn't go in there and the trainer said, you got a grade, you know, 3. As everybody speculated. And he walked out and said, you know what? As I was walking away from the doctor, I rotated my shoulder a little bit. And I thought to myself, it feels good. This is grade 2, grade 1. So that's what I'm going to tell everybody. People, think about when you're saying things and you're texting it. Just think about it first. I understand that you want to go hard on Cam. And I get it. He's probably not your... He's not your guy. You probably want someone else in here, or you just don't believe he's going to be the guy either way. But to sort of say something like that, to try to the narrative here, what are you trying to push? The guy didn't self-diagnose himself. Don't push that narrative, please.
Dustin in Hopkinsville says, it's first and goal. Could he not slide? The play call's fine. Why isn't he sliding? We got all over Levis for not sliding.
Tell me a quarterback that slides into the end zone. It's never happened. Come on.
He slid the 5 plays before because it was out in the field.
Good grief. Tell me the last time you saw a quarterback slide in the end zone.
It's day one of the offseason. Take your time.
Marked where you leave when you try to slide. You know
this.
Mike,
this
Come
is
on.
Not old football anymore.
It's day one of the offseason. We're only going to get these kind of takes for the next 7, 8, 9 months.
Who was the person that started this on the internet? Like, they shouldn't have called that play.
Oh,
who started that? Was it you, Adam?
No. I had no problem with the play
call. Was it you, David?
Exactly. Was it you, David? Goodness grace, Chase, was it you?
Did you order the code red? You're damn right I did.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, boy. It's day one of the offseason, and we are already off to a roaring start. I mean, these takes are so electrifying, it knocked out the power in the studio. So I'm blaming y'all for that. 615-737-1025 for phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take your thoughts on the end of the Titans season. By the way, I forgot to mention this. The Titans will be drafting 4th in the 2026 NFL Draft. The Las Vegas Raiders with the number 1 overall pick, followed by the Jets and the Cardinals. The Titans at 4, the Giants at 5. And man, oh man, the New York Giants, when they have an opportunity to improve their draft slot, they turn into the mid-90s Bulls. I just don't understand it. They were in pole position for the number 1 overall pick entering week 17. Then they won their past 2 games, and now they're 5th. So I don't know what it is about the Giants, but that's...
It was awesome. And yesterday, you get stuck with what you get stuck with. We were in Calgary, so I was not able to watch the full Titans game. But I did get the Giants and the Cowboys.
And Joe Milton made an appearance.
When Joe Milton came into the game, I texted you guys. I was like, this is surreal. This is unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Jackson Dart went wild. Oh, man. He threw the ball up and down the field.
And now the Giants are drafting 5th in the draft, one spot behind the Titans, who have the 4th overall pick in the NFL draft. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to Cam Ward's injury, his season as a whole, which we will discuss, of course, this week and throughout the offseason. But coming up next, the Titans have requested interviews with 4 coaches. We'll run down the list coming up next, plus A fired coach today is reportedly on the Titans radar. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
You want a winner. I mean, somebody who could come in and build that culture, that winning culture. You know, that's what I remember my first 3 years. We had a winning culture. We had, a fierce leader. You know, when you're talking about leadership, you got to have a great leader. You start with that leadership, and then everything else, we know what's come with a head coach. But, you know, I think Mike and them going to do a hell of a job of getting the right coach in. You know, my job is to continue to be the leader I am and keep producing on the football field.
That was Jeffrey Simmons after the Titans season ended yesterday in a 41-7 loss.
He was very careful with his words.
Oh, yeah? What do you think? Oh, yeah. Why do you think that?
Because he was trying to describe Vrabel, but he didn't really want to say his name.
He had to stop himself.
Exactly. Absolutely. If you didn't pick up on that,
he had a great guy. His name was.
Exactly.
That is true. That is true. Mm-mm. It's like when you start dating somebody and they're about to mention their ex and they stop themselves.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's in the past, man. That's in the past.
Let it go. Let it go.
Okay. Anyway, so the Titans have requested head coaching interviews with four candidates thus far. Broncos defensive coordinator Vance Joseph, Colts defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo, Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, and Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy. And we will talk more about the coaching search in the 5 o'clock hour, because I do have a question about it as it relates to the news of last week that Mike Borgonzi will be leading the coaching search, as Amy Adams Strunk mentioned in her open letter to Titans fans. But you might have to add another coach to that list. Today, of course, is quote unquote Black Monday in the NFL, and four coaches have been fired so far. Raheem Morris in Atlanta, fired after 2 seasons. Pete Carroll in Las Vegas, fired after just 1 season. Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, fired after 3 seasons. I mean, losing that game to the Titans is probably worth being fired over regardless. And Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, fired after 6 seasons. And Adam Schefter reported within the past 30 minutes that Stefanski is expected to speak with the Falcons, Giants, and Titans about their head coach vacancies. And look, we'll get into the nitty-gritty with all of the coaching candidates. I can't tell you I know a ton about Lou Anarumo, for example, the Colts defensive coordinator. I'm not going to pretend to be an encyclopedia.
Because I don't either.
About Lou Anarumo. But, Derek, just your thoughts on the names that have already been requested by the Titans. Vance Joseph, Lou Anarumo.
Let's go one by one.
All right.
Vance Joseph.
Vance Joseph.
That's a Rooney.
All right.
That everybody knows. That's just a Rooney. They have to do it. So Vance Joseph, which is good for him because he gets to sit in front of, you know, not even owner, but the GM and Brinkert. He gets to sit in front of them and sort of go through the spiel. But who believes that Vance Joseph will get this job? Raise your hand. Absolutely nobody. Nobody. So this is something they have to do.
They were hyping him up, Derek. Like he's been a head coach.
They're the one seed.
They've got arguably the best defense in football. Mm-mm. I do wonder if he will get a real look from somebody, if it's not the Titans. Like, if he can't get it now, like, when's he going to get it? Like, I do wonder also when you're – like, they might be in it for a while, so you have to wait to get him.
But this job. Now, what may happen is
they talked about a lot.
Yeah. But you interview him and I believe, you know, I don't think they're going to hire him as their head coach. I just think we're going to give him this interview. We can sort of, you know, satisfy the Rooney rule and kind of go from there. But even in that, I think you interview, he may end up being the defensive coordinator. So it's not all bad in a sense, but anyone that believes that, oh, he's coming in here and he has a shot to be the head coach of the Tennessee, no, not this organization.
All right.
Not where they're at.
So Vance Joseph, Lou Anarumo, Colts defensive coordinator.
I mean, again, the Colts had a nice run. Their defense is pretty good. We understand why they went in the tank, because they lost a quarterback and had some more injuries. But again, is he a guy that realistically, you know, is going to, for this team needs somebody in, like, somebody very specific. That's what this team needs.
And Lou Anarumo does not have head coaching experience, for what that's worth. Uh-huh. And remember the last time the Titans hired an ex-Bengals coordinator?
Didn't work out well.
It did not work out well. That, of course, being Brian Callahan. I'm kidding, mostly. Steve Spagnuolo.
No. No.
Willie, any thoughts
Steve
on Spags?
Steve had a shot. He's a great defensive coordinator. Great defensive coordinator. And again.
Except when he was with the Saints.
Yeah, except when he was. But again, would this be an interview that, okay, we're not really thinking about hiring him as a head coach, but we get him in the building, we start talking to him, maybe he wants to leave Kansas City and we can hire him. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if they can do that per rules. I don't know if there's a rule saying you can't do that or you can. But would he be someone that, because they may be looking for a new defensive coordinator too.
Steve Spagnuolo has not been a full-time head coach since 2011.
Giants, right?
With the St. Louis Rams.
Was he the Rams?
He was an interim coach for the Giants in 2017. But in 3 years with the Rams, Willie, Steve Spagnuolo, 11-41 as head coach of the St. Louis Rams.
That sounds great. What's wrong with 11-41? We know why he would get the job, right?
Yes.
The Kansas City ties to Borgonzi are important here. And I think if it's a defensive guy, and we've just talked about a couple of them, the obvious question is, who are the contacts? Who do you want to bring in as the offensive guru to match up with Cam Ward's skill set? I don't have any problem if that's if they think the leader and the best head coach, which we've all agreed, I think, is very important. You just heard Jeffrey Simmons talk about what he wants to see, a leader. And so you can run, you can have anybody run the, you know, be the leader. But then the next question too, which is very important, is what's your plan with Cam Ward, right? And so that's what I would want to know about Spagnuolo and all that stuff, because you're not going to have the best players on defense to start. So you can have a great scheme, but it's not going to matter until you get the Jimmys and Joes.
And we'll talk about Matt Nagy a little bit later, because I think the feeling is that Matt Nagy may be the leader in the clubhouse for the Titans head coaching position. And then we will get to Nagy a little bit later in the program. But Kevin Stefanski fired after 6 seasons with the Cleveland Browns. The Browns used 13 different starting quarterbacks during Stefanski's 6 seasons. And remember, we talked about Stefanski in the lead up to the game at Cleveland. And I think we all agreed after that game, nah, on Kevin Stefanski. But I'm reading ESPN's story here, Derek, and this stood out to me about Kevin Stefanski. Quote, Cleveland's issues in recent seasons were highlighted by ineptitude on offense, which was supposed to be Stefanski's calling card as play caller. The Browns scored fewer than 20 points in 11 games this season, tied for the most in the league. When Cleveland returned from its Week 9 bye, Stefanski announced that he was handing play calling duties to offensive coordinator Tommy Rees. It marked the second consecutive year that Stefanski relinquished the responsibility.
That tells me if you're going to hire him, you hire him as a head coach
who doesn't call plays.
Yeah, because he can't, and not all, you know, not all head coaches can do it. That's why only few are capable of doing it and doing it at a high level. Stefanski, even though, see, here's the crazy part about him is that he's been a 2-time coach of the year when he was at Cleveland. But through all this mess they've been going through, you don't even think about that when you think about Stefanski. It's just like, I don't want to hire him. Why? Because there's so much stuff that's gone on with Cleveland lately that it's just from the quarterbacks, from the team not being good. That whole – it's just been a mess there. And people have quickly forgotten that Stefanski is a two-time coach of the year with the Cleveland Browns. So maybe if you hire him, just as a head coach and allow him to hire the best offensive coordinator, or you hire him as a coordinator because he can't do both. But, I mean, again, would he be the number one on my list? Probably not. But I'm not saying he wouldn't be on the list.
You do have to separate. Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
Well, I think my analogy from afar, and I've never covered Stefanski day in, day out as a leader. The two-time coach of the year thing in Cleveland, I do think should move to the front of the line above some of the other stuff, because when you know what you just read, Adam, they didn't get it done on offense, but when you read the 13 quarterbacks and you start looking at those names, that's like saying, you're supposed to win the race with my family's 1980 Dodge Aspen that I was driving in high school. Like, it was like, I'm just glad to get to the movie theater in one piece. I'm not winning any races with that car. He didn't have the horses, right, to win. Like, how are you supposed to have a great offense if you've got 13 quarterbacks? And I think you saw when he did have good quarterback play, Flacco the 1 year and Baker Mayfield the other year, I believe, right? They were a good team. They were a playoff team.
By the way, the teams that Cleveland was tied with for most games scoring fewer than 20 points, the New Orleans Saints and the Las Vegas Raiders. The Titans only did it 9 times, so there's something.
It got hot toward the end of the year.
There is something.
And you had some disastrous things going on in Cleveland.
Yes.
The whole Deshaun Watson thing was a disaster. Like, that affects all that stuff. And then some of the quarterbacks that he was forced to try to make it work with, it's just, I think you got to get a pass to a degree with some of that. And you look beyond the, how many times did they get less than 20?
One texter quickly wants to know who the closest available coach is in terms of a Vrabel clone.
I don't know. I mean, Robert Saleh?
Robert Saleh would be my first guess.
Robert
Saleh. Are we a little surprised we haven't heard his name in this whole thing? They got a big list of guys. Why is he not on the list?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
It might come in time, right? Well, San Francisco does not have a bye, correct? In the playoffs because
they lost to
the Seahawks. So I don't think he's available to be interviewed right now, if I'm not mistaken. So that might be why. If the Niners would have won the game the other day, maybe he would have been available for an interview because he would be off this week. But I imagine Saleh will receive plenty of interview requests. 615-737-1025. The Tennessee Titans have requested head coaching interviews with Broncos DC Vance Joseph, Colts DC Lou Anarumo, Chiefs DC Steve Spagnuolo, and Chiefs OC Matt Nagy. Adam Schefter reporting that Kevin Stefanski is expected to speak with the Falcons, Giants, and Titans about their head coaching vacancies after being fired by the Cleveland Browns. 615-737-1025 will continue to take your reaction. But coming up next, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. He was in the Titans locker room today as the players addressed reporters for the final time this season. We'll get his thoughts on everything that went down yesterday and today and what's going to happen in the future. That's coming up next with Teron Davenport, 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Darnick, 1025, The Game. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, Teron Davenport, who is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Hi, TD, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you. Oh, well, that's very loud. That's me hearing myself. Anyway, you were in the Titans locker room today as players addressed reporters for the last time this season. What was the general theme from the players about what lies ahead?
I mean, there's a degree of optimism. They are glad that this year is over with. They're looking at it as a learning lesson. And they just want somebody to come in and be the leader that the organization needs. So I think it was relief. There was also, like I said, optimism about spinning forward to the future.
Teron, it's been reported that the Titans have requested head coaching interviews with four candidates thus far: Vance Joseph, Lou Anarumo, Steve Spagnuolo, and Matt Nagy. And again, there is a limit to which coaches can be made available for interviews based on the playoffs and such. But just your general thoughts on the first four candidates reportedly to be interviewed for this job.
Yeah, I really like the Vance Joseph one. I think he's a guy that in Denver, I mean, they are doing crazy things on defense. So that's pretty cool to see. And I think we also look at, just the way everything has been, just from a leadership perspective. He's a guy that was well respected when he was the head coach there. So that'll be a good one for the Titans. Matt Nagy obviously has the ties to Mike Borgonzi and also the common thread of having worked with Patrick Mahomes. And that's a guy that a lot of people stylistically compare Cam Ward to, so you got to like that as well.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, is with us. And Teron, on the Nagy front, last week we learned that Mike Borgonzi will be leading the coaching search. And this is something we are going to discuss later in the program, but since you're with us now, I would love your opinion. Now that we know that Borgonzi is leading the coaching search, should we move certain candidates, such as Nagy, Steve Spagnuolo mentioned as well, even someone like Mike Kafka, for example, should we move those candidates with ties to Borgonzi up the list since he's leading the coaching search?
I think he should. Proceed at Matt Nagy as opposed to a head coach. So it's going to really depend on a candidate-by-candidate basis, I don't know for sure that Spagnuolo becomes more of, because we don't know the relationship that Mike Borgonzi has with them. Okay, they could have been in the same building, obviously, but you don't know what that degree of relationship is. So that is something to consider. So I don't know for sure whether you boost up Matt Nagy or Spagnuolo, to be honest with you, but they're ones that I would keep an eye on.
Now, TD, what do you think the Titans are going to do moving forward with some of these guys? I know there may be a high turnover, but with guys like Calvin Ridley, the Legarius Sneed, guys that are either have a few more years left on their deal or one, guys like Chig Okonkwo, who's entering free agency, what do you think they do with those guys?
Number that they have with Chig that they're not going to go over. But when you look at Ridley and you look at Sneed, I think it's very unlikely that those guys are back, to be honest with you. And it's just a couple of situations where, things just kind of ran their course. Obviously, Sneed hit the experience here has been, much less successful than Ridley's. Ridley he saw a productive season, but those guys will probably not be back. But when you look at guys like Jahad Ward, I mean, he's someone you have to bring back. Arden Key, I thought, was interesting in the locker room. He said that, he believes that they want him back and he wants to be back. And he talked about working in the community and then also buying a house here. But then he also said, well, I'm going to be on a different team. And so a little bit later in that presser. So who knows what's going to happen there also.
Now, how do you think they approach the offense, more in particular the wide receiver room? Because, listen, those rookies came in and they were asked to play more than I think they probably thought they were going to play. It was good. They developed. But what do you think the Titans think about that receiver room? Do you think they go early in the draft, or do they believe in enough in Ellick that he can come back in the second year where they don't have to use a first round pick on a top flight receiver?
Well, I think you got to look at factors of free agency, mm-hmm. Alec Pierce, Romeo Dobbs, mm-hmm. even Wandell Robinson. You got to look at that, but then you also got to look at who's available when they draft. It looks like, all the top receivers will be available, Jordan Tyson, Carnell Tate, et cetera. But I think when you look at the Carnell Tate versus second or third rated pass rusher, like that's something else you got to look at. Like, how does he compare value wise to Arvell Reese? How does he Arvell Reese? How does he compare value wise to Reuben Bain, who really is? I believe Bain has kind of acquitted himself, you know, in this playoff format because he's been a dominant player. And I know the short arms, whatever. But I mean, short arms are one thing, but if you can get your hands on the other guy first, that's a different story. So we'll see. But to answer your question, I think they're going to add somebody that will come in and lead. I think they're going to add a veteran. And then you also got to remember Bryce Oliver is still a guy that you know, is a restricted free agent, if I'm not mistaken. And I wouldn't be opposed to bringing back Van Jefferson if I was them as well. Just I'm talking about on a supportive role, not as the guy.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, you had a couple of really good nuggets from the locker room. I want to ask you about J.C. Latham and your conversation with him about his process coming back from the hip injury, which really set him back early in the season, and he was playing catch-up for a while. He's such a critical player long-term. What did you find out about how that affected his entire season?
Yeah, well, it was something that lingered, and it was something that he just played through, and he said that he probably should have taken a little bit longer to come back, but he felt guilty. You know, if he was able to play at any stretch, he felt that he owed it to his guys to do that and not be selfish and focus on himself to not play and take time to recover. So I thought that was interesting. But, you know, the thing with him and the thing with Peter Skoronski and even Lloyd Cushenberry, those guys want to run the football. And even Cam Ward said it. So I thought, you know, out of that conversation, that was the best part, was just how much they are focused on continuity as far as the run game is concerned.
So, Teron, another thing that I thought was noteworthy was Jeffrey Simmons telling the media that Tavondre Sweat is going to come down and work with him in the offseason, and it's not an option. That, to me, is a big, big thing. Like, they need Tavondre Sweat to come back. If you look at Sweat and Latham before the season, I think those were two of the prospects that on a team that desperately needs prospects with a high ceiling that didn't take a big step for a number of reasons, right? Injuries being first and foremost early on that kind of set them behind. But this could be a huge offseason for Sweat. I think it's a good move, and hopefully Jeffrey Simmons can bring out the best in him.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that. I talked to Sweat on Thursday. And we just kind of sat at his locker and just had a conversation. And he told me how much more personal this offseason is for him. He said that he was going to work with Jeff. And I was like, man, you told me that last year. And he was like, no, this year it's happening. So that's something to consider. And he did say he's going to work on the weight. He said he's going to work on the weight change. And then in addition to that, he's going to work on just getting his body right. So these are all things that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is the perfect guy to work with for that because we saw what he did. And the thing that's really good with all this is the results show. So when I took it to Jeff and I said to him, you know, how critical is it for you to take on that role of making other players better, a la Tavondre Sweat? And he said that, you know, the thing is, it's not an option. He's working with me. And that's when that comment came out. And I think that's really good. And Jeff talked about the diet stuff that he did. And he talked about, you know, the body overhaul that he did. And that's something that, man, if Sweat could do that, that's going to be something. And just another nugget on Tavondre Sweat. You know, I talked to him at the Senior Bowl years ago when he was coming out. And one of the things he told me, because I kept asking him, like, why don't you use the bull rush more? And he said he doesn't because he gets bored with it. And I'm like, that's a great move and it's almost unstoppable. And he said, well, you know, he's worked since then. He's worked since then to be able to develop other pass rush moves. And that's what he's looking to do so that he could counter it. So that's something else. You're just seeing an expansion, well, a desire to expand his game.
I want to ask you about your thoughts on what the best match for Cam Ward is, regardless of the head coach, whether the head coach is a defensive-minded person that's the best leader or even a guy that wasn't a coordinator, right? We know that sometimes the best head coaches don't necessarily have to have been a coordinator, but they still have to answer what is the best match for Cam Ward. Do you think philosophically Mike Borgonzi sees the offense they have been running as the right fit for him? Or do you think maybe somebody with a little more of a creative mind could run something different and get more out of him?
I think what he sees, that he saw them run the latter part. Talking about from the Jaguars, the first Jaguars game on is what he would believe and what most people would believe is the right thing. Have an established, effective run game and play off of that. And when you have the run game like that, you could play action and take those shots down the field and do those things that Cam Ward likes to do, throw those crossers and the daggers and those different things off of play action. So that's the ideal situation. That's why, honestly, I really like Arthur Smith as a candidate. I know that's not a name that a lot of people, are going to throw a party about, but I think he could come in and he could work that offense similar to the way that they did with Ryan Tannehill, and then they'll just have to get their A.J. Brown a la Jeremy Bernard in the second round from Alabama. But, you know, get their type of player that's a rugged play-action, yards after catch guy, and I think they'll be all right.
Teron Davenport has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donick, he joins us every Monday, and he is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
All right, appreciate it, man. You guys take it easy.
Yep. You too, TD. Quickly, let's go back to something that Willie asked Teron during our interview. T'Vondre Sweat. T'Vondre Sweat is going to train with Jeffrey Simmons this offseason. Jeffrey Simmons said he did not give T'Vondre Sweat the option. He's coming whether he likes it or not. And, Willie, we saw the transformation that Jeffrey Simmons made this season. He dropped a lot of weight, and he had the best season of his career. I would expect Jeffrey Simmons to be named an All-Pro. We'll see. But hopefully for the Titans, T'Vondre Sweat can have a similar impact by working with Jeffrey Simmons this offseason.
And he's not quite the same player as Simmons, but
true.
I think he could be a great sidekick if he is at his best. And it was just a really disappointing season for Sweat, all in all. But I think we know there's more there, and I think we also believe that had he not had some of the setbacks early, that could have made a difference. But I think there were a lot of questions, too, about, you know, his offseason, his attitude, that maybe he got a little complacent and maybe he needed to get humbled a little bit to make a jump for next year. Or maybe this led him to the path of wanting to work with Jeffrey Simmons. You know, we do need to say this, right? J.C. Latham reshaped his body, and that didn't turn out great because of the hip injury. Hopefully that injury was the reason and not the reshape the body, lean body mass kind of thing, lose weight to get quicker. But I'm really curious about what Sweat could do with his body. We know he's going to be a tank no matter what, but what's the right weight for him is a key question, I think.
Yeah, it is. And listen, if you want to be taken seriously, if you want to be considered a pro, then you got to do those things that are necessary. And when you see Jeffrey Simmons and the way he came back, there's no doubt, like, I would go, like, what did you do, man? I want to do
exactly
what you did. You know, I want to do the same things you did. I want to work out my schedule. He's young enough. I don't think he has a wife and kids, but he's young enough to, and he has the money to be able to go where Jeff trains and work with Jeff for the majority of the summer. Again, these young men have to understand, you are your own business. What you put in it is what you're going to get out of it. If you don't want to put in the work, Jeff puts in the work. So if I'm trying to get to that point where I'm not a sidekick, and I understand what you were saying, Willie, but I don't want to be a sidekick. I want to be equal or better than that guy. So go train with them. Take it seriously. And hopefully T'Vondre does take it seriously. And I'm not saying that, you know, he hasn't been, but there seemed to be, especially after the early injury, there just didn't – that fire that you saw in his rookie season, like he had something to prove. Like, y'all think I'm overweight? Y'all think I'm this? I'm coming out. And he proved it last – and it was almost like he didn't have anything to prove. When in fact, he still has everything to prove. Don't do it one season. do it season after season after season after season. I think now watching Jeff and seeing Jeff reap the rewards of his hard work, I think he look at that now and say, you know what, that's what I need to be doing.
615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on the Titans offseason. It's just beginning. There's a lot to await, of course, led by the head coaching search. 615-737-1025. But before we look forward, we're going to look back. If you recall, at the beginning of the season, Willie did 9 of them. I did 1 of them because I asked Willie if he would be so kind as to let me pick one of the 10 Titans questions. Willie comes up with these Titans questions in the preseason that he believes will give us an idea of what this team could ultimately be. And now that the season is over, we need to review our selections. And I don't think I'm not looking forward to this for me personally. We will do this coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.